And now Chapter 9 of the Madhyalila, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Travels to the Holy Places. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted the inhabitants of South India. These people were as strong as elephants, but they were under the clutches of the crocodiles of various philosophies, such as the Buddhist, Jain, and Mayavad philosophies. By his disc of mercy, the Lord converted all of them into Vaishnavas, devotees of the Lord. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Sri Advaita Prabhu. And all glories to the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tour of South India was certainly very extraordinary because he visited many thousands of places of pilgrimage there. When the Lord visited all these holy places, he converted many thousands of residents. Thus many people were delivered. Simply by touching the holy places, he made them into great places of pilgrimage. I cannot chronologically record all the places of pilgrimage visited by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I can only summarize everything by saying that the Lord visited all holy places, right and left, coming and going. Because it is impossible for me to record all these places in chronological order, I simply make a token gesture of recording them. As previously stated, all the residents of the villages visited by Lord Chaitanya became Vaishnavas and began to chant Hari and Krishna. In this way, in all the villages visited by the Lord, everyone became a Vaishnava, a devotee. In South India, there were many types of people. Some were philosophical speculators, and some were fruitive workers. But in any case, there were innumerable non-devotees. By the influence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all these people abandoned their own opinions and became Vaishnavas, devotees of Krishna. At the time, all the South Indian Vaishnavas were worshippers of Lord Ramachandra. Some were Tattvavadis, and some were followers of Ramanujacharya. After meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all those different Vaishnavas became devotees of Krishna and began chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. O Lord Ramachandra, descendant of Maharaj Raghu, kindly protect me. O Lord Krishna, killer of the Keshi demon, kindly protect me. While walking on the road, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to chant this Ram Raghava mantra. Chanting in this way, he arrived at the banks of the Gotami Ganga and took his bath there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to Malak Arjun Tirtha and saw the deity of Lord Shiva there. He also induced all the people to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There he saw Lord Madhava or Shiva, the servant of Lord Ram. He then went to Ahoval Nrsinga. After seeing the Ahoval Nrsinga deity, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered many prayers unto the Lord. He then went to Siddhavat, where he saw the deity of Ramachandra, the Lord of Sita Devi. After seeing the deity of Lord Ramchandra, the descendant of King Raghu, the Lord offered his prayers and obeisances. Then a Brahmin invited the Lord to take lunch. The Brahmin constantly chanted the holy name of Ramchandra. Indeed, but for chanting Lord Ramchandra's holy name, the Brahmin did not speak a word. That day, Lord Chaitanya remained there and accepted prasad at his house. After bestowing mercy upon him in this way, the Lord proceeded ahead. At the holy place known as Skanda Kshetra, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Skanda. From there, he went to Trimata, where he saw the Vishnu deity Trivikram. After visiting the temple of Trivikram, the Lord returned to Siddhavat, where he again visited the house of the Brahmin, who is now constantly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. After finishing his lunch there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the Brahmin, "My dear friend, kindly tell me what your position is now. Formerly you were constantly chanting the holy name of Lord Ram. Why are you now constantly chanting the holy name of Krishna?" The Brahmin replied,
"This is all due to your influence, sir. After seeing you, I have lost the long practice of my life. From my childhood, I have been chanting the holy name of Lord Ramchandra. But after seeing you, I began to chant the holy name of Lord Krishna. Since then, the holy name of Krishna has been tied to my tongue. Indeed, when I chant the holy name of Krishna, the holy name of Lord Ramchandra goes far, far away. From my childhood, I have been practicing this chanting and have been collecting the glories of the holy name from the revealed scriptures. The supreme truth is called Ram because the transcendentalists take pleasure in the unlimited true pleasure of spiritual existence. The word Krish is the attractive feature of the Lord's existence, and Na means spiritual pleasure. When the verb Krish is added to the affix Na, it becomes Krishna, which indicates the absolute truth. As far as the holy names of Ram and Krishna are concerned, they are on an equal level. But for further advancement, we receive some specific information from revealed scriptures. In the Padma Purana, it is said that Lord Shiva addressed his wife Durga as Vananana, and explained, "I chant the holy name of Ram, 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 and thus enjoy this beautiful sound. This holy name of Ramchandra is equal to 1,000 holy names of Lord Vishnu." And in the Brahmanda Purana, it is said that the pious results derived from the chanting of the 1,000 holy names of Vishnu 3 times can be attained by only 1 repetition of the holy name of Krishna. According to the statement of the Shastras, the glories of the holy name of Krishna are unlimited. Still, I could not chant his holy name. Please hear the reason for this. My worshipable Lord has been Lord Ramachandra, and by chanting his holy name, I received happiness. Because I received such happiness, I chanted the holy name of Lord Ram day and night. By your appearance, Lord Krishna's holy name also appeared. And at that time, the glories of Krishna's name awoke in my heart. Sir, you, yes, you are that Lord Krishna himself. This is my ascertainment."
Saying this, the Brahmin fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After showing mercy to the Brahmin, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the next day and arrived at Vridakashi, where he visited the temple of Lord Shiva. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then left Vridakashi and proceeded further ahead. In one village, he saw that most of the residents were Brahmins, and he took his rest there. Due to the influence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many millions of men came just to see him. Indeed, the assembly was so unlimited that its members could not be counted. The Lord's bodily features were very beautiful, and in addition, he was always in the ecstasy of love of Godhead. Simply by seeing him, everyone began chanting the holy name of Krishna, and thus everyone became a Vaishnava devotee. There are many kinds of philosophers. Some are logicians who follow Gotam or Kanad, and some follow the Mimamsa philosophy of Jaimini. Some follow the Mayavad philosophy of Shankaracharya, and others follow Kapila's Sankhya philosophy or the mystic yoga system of Patanjali. Some follow the Smriti Shastra composed of 20 religious scriptures, and others follow the Puranas and the Tantra Shastra. In this way, there are many different types of philosophers. All of these adherents of various scriptures were ready to present the conclusions of their respective scriptures, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu broke all their opinions to pieces and established his own cult of bhakti based on the Vedas, Vedanta, the Brahma Sutra, and the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the devotional cult everywhere. No one could defeat him. Being thus defeated by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all these philosophers and their followers entered into his cult. In this way, Lord Chaitanya made South India into a country of Vaishnavas. When the non-believers heard of the erudition of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they came to him with great pride, bringing their disciples with him. One of them was the leader of a Buddhist cult and was a very learned scholar. To establish their 9 philosophical conclusions, he came before the Lord and began to speak. Although the Buddhists are unfit for discussion and should not be seen by Vaishnavas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to them just to decrease their false pride. The scriptures of the Buddhist cult are chiefly based on argument and logic, and they contain 9 chief principles. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated them in their argument, they could not establish their cult. The teacher of the Buddhist cult set forth 9 principles, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu broke them to pieces with his strong logic. All mental speculators and learned scholars were defeated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and when the people began to laugh, the Buddhist philosophers felt both shame and fear. The Buddhists could understand that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a Vaishnava, and they returned home very unhappy. Later, however, they began to plot against the Lord. Having made their plot, the Buddhists brought a plate of untouchable food before Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and called it Mahaprasad. When the contaminated food was offered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a very large bird appeared on the spot, picked up the plate in its beak, and flew away. Indeed, the untouchable food fell upon the Buddhists, and the large bird dropped the plate on the head of the chief Buddhist teacher. When it fell on his head, it made a big sound. The plate was made of metal, and when its edge hit the head of the teacher, it cut him, and the teacher immediately fell to the ground, unconscious. When the teacher fell unconscious, his Buddhist disciples cried aloud and ran to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for shelter. They all prayed to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, addressing him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, and saying,
"Sir, please excuse our offense. Please have mercy upon us and bring our spiritual master back to life."
The Lord then replied to the Buddhist disciples, "You should all chant the names of Krishna and Hari very loudly near the ear of your spiritual master. By this method, your spiritual master will regain his consciousness." Following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advice, all the Buddhist disciples began to chant the holy name of Krishna congregationally. When all the disciples chanted the holy names of Krishna, Rama, and Hari, the Buddhist teacher regained consciousness and immediately began to chant the holy name of Lord Hari. When the spiritual master of the Buddhists began to chant the holy name of Krishna and submitted to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the people who were gathered there were astonished. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Shachi Devi, then suddenly and strangely disappeared from everyone's sight, and it was impossible for anyone to find him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next arrived at Tirupati and Trimala, where he saw a four-handed deity. Then he next proceeded toward Venkatat Hill. After arriving at Tirupati, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Ramachandra. He offered his prayers and obeisances before Lord Ramachandra, the descendant of King Raghu. Everywhere Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, his influence astonished everyone. He next arrived at the temple of Panarsingha. The Lord is so merciful. In great ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered obeisances and prayers unto Lord Narsingha. The people were astonished to see Lord Chaitanya's influence. Arriving at Shiva Kanchi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the deity of Lord Shiva. By his influence, he converted all the devotees of Lord Shiva into Vaishnavas. The Lord then visited a holy place known as Vishnu Kanchi. He saw there Lakshmi Narayan deities, and he offered his respects and many prayers to please them. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at Vishnu Kanchi for 2 days, he danced and performed kirtan in ecstasy. When all the people saw him, they were converted into devotees of Lord Krishna. After visiting Trimalaya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Trikala Hasti. It was there that he saw Lord Shiva and offered him all respects and obeisances. At Pakshitirtha, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Shiva. Then he went to the Vridhakola place of pilgrimage. At Vridhakola, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Shvetavaraha, the white boar. After offering him respects, the Lord visited the temple of Lord Shiva, wherein the deity is dressed with yellow garments. After visiting the temple of Siyali Bhairavi, another form of the goddess Durga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Shachi, went to the bank of the river Kaveri. The Lord then visited a place known as Gosamaj, where he saw Lord Shiva's temple. He then arrived at Vedavan, where he saw another deity of Lord Shiva and offered him prayers. Seeing the Shiva deity named Amritalinga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his obeisances. Thus he visited all the temples of Lord Shiva and converted the devotees of Shiva into Vaishnavas. At Devastan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Vishnu, and there he talked with the Vaishnavas in the disciplic succession of Ramanujacharya. These Vaishnavas are known as Sri Vaishnavas. At Kumbhakarn Kapal, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw a great lake, and then the holy place named Shiva Kshetra, where a temple of Lord Shiva is located. After visiting the holy place of Shiva Kshetra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at Papanashan and there saw the temple of Lord Vishnu. Then he finally reached Sri Ranga Kshetra. After bathing in the river Kaveri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the temple of Ranganath and offered his ardent prayers and obeisances. Thus he felt himself successful. In the temple of Ranganath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced in ecstatic love of Godhead. Seeing his performance, everyone was struck with wonder. One Vaishnav, known as Vyankat Bhatta, then invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home with great respect. Sri Vyankat Bhatta took Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home. After he washed the Lord's feet, all the members of his family drank the water. After offering lunch to the Lord, Vyankat Bhatta submitted that the period of Chaturmasya had already arrived. Vyankat Bhatta said,
"Please be merciful to me and stay at my house during Chaturmasya. Speak about Lord Krishna's pastimes and kindly deliver me by your mercy."
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained at the house of Vyankat Bhatta for 4 continuous months. The Lord passed his days in great happiness, enjoying the transcendental mellow of discussing Lord Krishna's pastimes. While there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his bath in the river Kaveri and visited the temple of Sri Ranga. Every day the Lord also danced in ecstasy. The beauty of Lord Chaitanya's body and his ecstatic love of God were witnessed by everyone. Many people used to come to see him, and as soon as they saw him, all their unhappiness and distress vanished. Many hundreds of thousands of people from various countries came to see the Lord, and after seeing him, they all chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Indeed, they did not chant anything but the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and all of them became Lord Krishna's devotees. Thus, the general populace was astonished. All the Vaishnav Brahmins residing at Sri Ranga Kshetra invited the Lord to their homes every day. Each day the Lord was invited by a different Brahmin, but some of them did not get the opportunity to offer him lunch because the period of Chaturmasya came to an end. In the holy place of Sri Ranga Kshetra, a Brahmin Vaishnav used to visit the temple daily and recite the entire text of Bhagavad Gita. The Brahmin regularly read the 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita in great transcendental ecstasy. But because he could not pronounce the words correctly, people used to joke about him. Due to his incorrect pronunciation, people sometimes criticized him and laughed at him, but he did not care. He was full of ecstasy due to reading the Bhagavad Gita and was personally very happy. While reading the book, the Brahmin experienced transcendental bodily transformations. His hair stood on end, tears welled in his eyes, and his body trembled and perspired as he read. Seeing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the Brahmin,
"My dear sir, why are you in such ecstatic love? Which portion of the Bhagavad Gita gives you such transcendental pleasure?"
The Brahmin replied,
"I am illiterate and therefore do not know the meaning of the words. Sometimes I read Bhagavad Gita correctly and sometimes incorrectly, but in any case I am doing this in compliance with the orders of my spiritual master. Actually, I only see a picture of Lord Krishna sitting on a chariot as Arjuna's charioteer. Taking the reins in his hands, he appears very beautiful and blackish. When I see the picture of Lord Krishna sitting in a chariot and instructing Arjuna, I'm just filled with ecstatic happiness. As long as I read Bhagavad Gita, I simply see the Lord's beautiful features. It is for this reason that I'm reading Bhagavad Gita, and my mind cannot be distracted from this."
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the Brahmin, "Indeed, you are an authority in reading of Bhagavad Gita. Whatever you know constitutes the real purport of Bhagavad Gita." After saying this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced the Brahmin, and the Brahmin, catching the lotus feet of the Lord, began to cry. The Brahmin said,
"Upon seeing you, My happiness is doubled. I take it that you are the same, Lord Krishna.
The Brahmin's mind was purified by the revelation of Lord Krishna, and therefore he could understand the truth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in all details. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then taught the Brahmin very thoroughly and requested him not to disclose the fact that he was Lord Krishna himself. That Brahmin became a great devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and for 4 continuous months he did not give up the Lord's company. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained at the house of Venkat Bhatta and constantly talked about Lord Krishna. In this way he was very happy. Being a Vaishnav in the Ramanuj Sampradaya, Venkat Bhatta worshipped the deity of Lakshmi and Narayan. Seeing his pure devotion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. Constantly associating with one another, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Venkat Bhatta gradually developed a friendly relationship. Indeed, sometimes they laughed and joked together. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Bhattacharya, "Your worshipable goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, always remains on the chest of Narayan, and she is certainly the most chaste woman in the creation. However, my lord is Lord Sri Krishna, a cowherd boy, who is engaged in tending cows. Why is it that Lakshmi, being such a chaste wife, wants to associate with my lord? Just to associate with Krishna, Lakshmi abandoned all transcendental happiness in Vaikuntha, and for a long time accepted vows and regulative principles and performed unlimited austerities." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then quoted the wives of the Kaliya serpent and said, "O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya attained such an opportunity to be touched by the dust of your lotus feet. Even the goddess of fortune for this end performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and taking austere vows. Indeed, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya got such an opportunity." Venkat Bhatta then said,
"Lord Krishna and Lord Narayan are one and the same, but the pastimes of Krishna are more relishable due to their sportive nature. Since Krishna and Narayan are both the same personality, Lakshmi's association with Krishna does not break her vow of chastity. Rather, it was in great fun that the goddess of fortune wanted to associate with Lord Krishna. According to transcendental realization, there is no difference between the forms of Narayan and Krishna. Yet in Krishna, there is a special transcendental attraction due to the conjugal mellow, and consequently, he surpasses Narayan. This is the conclusion of transcendental mellows. The goddess of fortune considered that her vow of chastity would not be damaged by her relationship with Krishna. Rather, by associating with Krishna, she could enjoy the benefit of the Ras dance. Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is also an enjoyer of transcendental bliss. Therefore, if she wanted to enjoy herself with Krishna, what fault is there? Why are you joking so about this?"
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "I know that there is no fault on the part of the goddess of fortune, but still she could not enter into the Ras dance. We hear this from revealed scriptures. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, 'When Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Ras Leela, he put his arms around their necks and embraced them. This transcendental favor was never granted to the goddess of fortune or other consorts in the spiritual world. Nor was such a thing ever imagined by the most beautiful girls from the heavenly planets, girls whose bodily luster and aroma exactly resemble lotus flowers. And what to speak of worldly women who may be very, very beautiful by material estimation? But can you tell me why the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, could not enter the Ras dance? The authorities of Vedic knowledge could enter the dance and associate with Krishna. Great sages, by practicing the mystic yoga system and controlling the breath, conquer the mind and senses.
thus engaging in mystic yoga and seeing the super soul within their hearts, they ultimately enter into impersonal Brahman, along with the enemies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, the damsels of Vraj, the gopis, want to embrace Krishna and his arms, which are like serpents. Being attracted by the beauty of Krishna, the gopis ultimately tasted the nectar of the lotus feet of the Lord. The Upanishads have also tasted the nectar of his lotus feet by following in the footsteps of the gopis. Having been asked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu why the goddess of fortune could not enter into the Ras dance, whereas the authorities on Vedic knowledge could, Vyankatvata replied,
"I cannot enter into the mysteries of this behavior."
Vyankatvata then admitted,
"I am an ordinary human being. Since my intelligence is very limited and I am easily agitated, my mind cannot enter within the deep ocean of the pastimes of the Lord. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna Himself. You know the purpose of your activities, and the person whom you enlighten can also understand your pastimes."
The Lord replied, "Lord Krishna has a specific characteristic. He attracts everyone's heart by the mellow of his personal conjugal love. By following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of the planet known as Vrajaloka or Goloka Vrindavan, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. However, in that planet, the inhabitants do not know that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There, someone may accept him as a son and sometimes bind him to a grinding mortar. Someone else may accept him as an intimate friend, and attaining victory over him, playfully mount his shoulders. The inhabitants of Vrajabhumi know Krishna as the son of Maharaj Nanda, the king of Vrajabhumi, and they consider that there can be no relationship with the Lord in the Ras of opulence. One who worships the Lord by following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi attains the Lord and gets to know him as he is known in the transcendental planet of Vraj. There he is known as the son of Maharaj Nanda." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to those devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body to be the same as the self." The authorities of Vedic literature, known as Shruti Gan, worshipped Lord Krishna in the ecstasy of the gopis and followed in their footsteps. The personified authorities on the Vedic hymns acquired bodies like those of the gopis and took birth in Vrajabhumi. In those bodies, they were allowed to enter into the Lord's Ras Lila dance. Lord Krishna belongs to the cowherd community, and the gopis are the dearmost lovers of Krishna. Although the wives of the denizens of the heavenly planets are most opulent within the material world, neither they nor any other women in the material universe can acquire Krishna's association. The goddess of fortune Lakshmi wanted to enjoy Krishna and at the same time retain her spiritual body in the form of Lakshmi. However, she did not follow in the footsteps of the gopis in her worship of Krishna. Vyasadeva, the supreme authority on Vedic literature, composed a verse beginning, "Nayam Sukapo Bhagavan," because no one can enter into the Ras Lila dance in any body other than the bodies of the gopis. Before this explanation was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vyankatvata thought that Sri Narayan was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thinking in this way, Vyankat Bhatta believed that worship of Narayan was the supreme form of worship, superior to all other processes of devotional service, for it was followed by the Sri Vaishnav disciples of Ramanujacharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had understood this misconception of Vyankat Bhatta, and to correct it, the Lord talked so much in a joking way. The Lord then continued, "My dear Vyankat Bhatta, please do not continue doubting. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this is the conclusion of Vedic literatures. Lord Narayan, the opulent form of Krishna, attracts the mind of the Goddess of Fortune and her followers. All these incarnations of Godhead are either plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatars. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. In every age, he protects the world through his different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. Because Krishna has four extraordinary qualities not possessed by Lord Narayan, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, always desires his company. You have recited the shloka beginning with Siddhantatas Tvabhede Pi. That very verse is evidence that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to transcendental realization, there is no difference between the forms of Krishna and Narayan. Yet in Krishna, there is a special transcendental attraction due to the conjugal mellow, and consequently, he surpasses Narayan. This is the conclusion of transcendental mellows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, attracts the mind of the Goddess of Fortune, but Lord Narayan cannot attract the minds of the gopis. This proves the super excellence of Krishna. To say nothing of Lord Narayan personally, Lord Krishna himself appeared as Narayan just to play a joke on the gopis. Although Krishna assumed the four-armed form of Narayan, he could not attract the serious attention of the gopis in ecstatic love. Once Lord Sri Krishna playfully manifested himself as Narayan with four victorious hands and a very beautiful form. When the gopis saw this exalted form, however, their ecstatic feelings abated. A learned scholar, therefore, cannot understand the gopis' ecstatic feelings, which are firmly centered upon the original form of Lord Krishna as the son of Nanda Maharaj. The wonderful feelings of the gopis in ecstatic paramaras with Krishna constitute the greatest mystery of spiritual life. In this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deflated the pride of Vyankat Bhatta, but just to make him happy again, he spoke as follows. The Lord pacified Vyankat Bhatta by saying, "Actually, whatever I have said is by way of jest. Now you can hear from me the conclusion of the Shastras, in which every Vaishnav devotee has firm faith. There is no difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Narayan, for they are of the same form. Similarly, there is no difference between the gopis and the goddess of fortune, for they also are of the same form. The goddess of fortune enjoys the association of Krishna through the gopis. One should not make distinctions between the forms of the Lord, for such conceptualizing is offensive. There is no difference between the transcendental forms of the Lord. Different forms are manifest due to different attachments of different devotees. Actually, the Lord is one, but he appears in different forms just to satisfy his devotees. When the jewel known as Vaidurya touches other materials, it appears to be separated into different colors. Consequently, the forms also appear different. Similarly, according to the meditational ecstasy of the devotee, the Lord, who is known as Achyuta, or infallible, appears in different forms, although he is essentially one." Vyankat Bhatta then said, "I am an ordinary fallen living entity, but you are Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. The transcendental pastimes of the Lord are unfathomable, and I do not know anything about them.
Whatever you say, I accept as the truth. I have been engaged in the service of Lakshmi Narayan, and it is due to their mercy that I have been able to see your lotus feet. Out of your causeless mercy, you have told me of the glories of Lord Krishna. No one can reach the end of the opulence, qualities, and forms of the Lord. I can now understand that devotional service unto Krishna is the supreme form of worship. Out of your causeless mercy, you have made my life successful simply by explaining the facts.
After saying this, Vyankatpata fell down before the lotus feet of the Lord, and the Lord, out of his causeless mercy, embraced him. When the period of Chaturmasya was completed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took permission to leave Vyankatpata, and after visiting Sri Ranga, proceeded further towards southern India. Vyankatpata did not want to return home, but also wanted to go with the Lord. It was with great endeavor that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade him farewell. When he did so, Vyankatpata fell down unconscious. Such are the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Shachi at Sri Rangakshetra. When the Lord arrived at Rishab Hill, he saw the temple of Lord Narayan and offered obeisances and various prayers. Paramananda Puri was staying at Rishab Hill, and when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he immediately went to see him. Upon meeting Paramananda Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered him all respects, touching his lotus feet, and Paramananda Puri embraced the Lord in ecstasy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed with Paramananda Puri in a Brahmin's house where Paramananda Puri was residing. Both of them passed 3 days there discussing topics of Krishna. Paramananda Puri informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he was going to see Purushottam at Jagannath Puri. After seeing Lord Jagannath there, he would go to Bengal to bathe in the Ganges. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told him, "Please return to Jagannath Puri, for I will return there very soon from Rameshwar or Setubandh. It is my desire to stay with you, and therefore if you would return to Jagannath Puri, you would show great mercy unto me." After talking in this way with Paramananda Puri, the Lord took his permission to leave and departed for southern India. The Lord himself was very pleased. Thus Paramananda Puri started for Jagannath Puri, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began walking towards Sri Saila. It was in Sri Saila that Lord Shiva and his wife Durga lived in the dress of Brahmins, and when they saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they became very pleased. Lord Shiva, dressed like a Brahmin, gave alms to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and invited him to spend 3 days in a solitary place. Sitting there together, they talked very confidentially. After talking with Lord Shiva, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his permission to leave and went to Kamakoshi Puri. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at southern Mathura from Kamakoshti, he met a Brahmin. The Brahmin who met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invited the Lord to his home. This Brahmin was a great devotee and authority on Lord Sri Ramachandra. He was always detached from material activities. After bathing in the river Kritamala, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the Brahmin's house. But before taking lunch, he saw that the food was unprepared because the Brahmin had not cooked it. Seeing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear sir, please tell me why you have not cooked. It is already noon." The Brahmin replied,
"My dear Lord, we are living in the forest. For the time being, we cannot get all the ingredients for cooking.
When Lakshman brings all the vegetables, fruits, and roots from the forest, Sita will arrange the necessary cooking.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied to hear about the Brahmin's method of worship. Finally, the Brahmin hastily made arrangements for cooking. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his lunch at about 3 o'clock, but the Brahmin, being very sorrowful, fasted. While the Brahmin was fasting, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, "Why are you fasting? Why are you so unhappy? Why are you so worried?" The Brahmin replied,
"I have no reason to live. I shall give up my life by entering either fire or water. My dear sir, Mother Sita is the mother of the universe and the supreme goddess of fortune. She has been touched by the demon Ravan, and I am troubled upon hearing this news. Sir, due to my unhappiness, I cannot continue living. Although my body is burning, my life is not leaving."
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Please do not think this way any longer. You are a learned pundit. Why don't you consider the case? Sita Devi, the dearmost wife of the Supreme Lord Ramachandra, certainly has a spiritual form full of bliss. No one can see her with material eyes, for no one material has such power. To say nothing of touching Mother Sita, a person with material senses cannot even see her. When Ravan kidnapped her, he kidnapped only her material, illusory form. As soon as Ravan arrived before Sita, she disappeared. It was just to cheat Ravan that she sent an illusory material form. Spiritual substance is never within the jurisdiction of the material conception. This is always the verdict of the Vedas and Puranas." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then assured the Brahmin, "Have faith in my words, and do not burden your mind any longer with this misconception." Although the Brahmin was fasting, he had faith in the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and accepted food. In this way, his life was saved. After thus assuring the Brahmin, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded further into southern India and finally arrived at Durvasan, where he bathed in the river Kritamala. At Durvasan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Ramachandra, and on the hill known as Mahendra Shail, he saw Lord Parasuram. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to Setu Bandha, or Rameshwar, where he took his bath at a place called Danustirtha. From there, he visited the Rameshwar temple and then took rest. There, among the Brahmins, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the Kurma Purana, wherein was mentioned the chaste woman's narration. Srimati Sita Devi is the mother of the three worlds and the wife of Lord Ramachandra. Among chaste women, she is supreme, and she is the daughter of King Janak. When Ravan came to kidnap Mother Sita, and she saw him, she took shelter of the fire god Agni. The fire god covered the body of Mother Sita, and in this way she was protected from the hands of Ravan. Upon hearing from the Kurma Purana how Ravan had kidnapped the false form of Mother Sita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very satisfied. The fire god Agni took away the real Sita and brought her to the place of Parvati, goddess Durga. An illusory form of Mother Sita was then delivered to Ravan, and in this way, Ravan was cheated. After Ravan was killed by Lord Ramchandra, Sita Devi was brought before the fire. When the illusory Sita was brought before the fire by Lord Ramchandra, the fire god made the illusory form disappear and delivered the real Sita to Lord Ramchandra. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this story, he was very pleased, and he remembered the words of Ramdas Vipra. Indeed, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these conclusive statements from Kurma Purana, he felt great happiness. After asking the Brahmin's permission, he took possession of those manuscript scrolls. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received the old manuscript of the Kurma Purana. Since the Kurma Purana was very old, the manuscript was also very old. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took possession of the original leaves in order to have direct evidence. The text was copied onto a new scroll in order that the Purana be replaced. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to southern Mathura and delivered the original manuscript of the Kurma Purana to Ramdas Vipra. In it he read, "When Agni was petitioned by Mother Sita, the fire god brought forth an illusory form of Sita, and Ravan, who had 10 heads, kidnapped the false Sita. The original Sita then went to the abode of the fire god. When Lord Ramchandra tested the body of Sita, it was the false illusory Sita that entered the fire. At that time, the fire god brought the original Sita from his abode and delivered her to Lord Ramchandra." Ramdas Vipra was very pleased to receive the original scrolls of the Kurma Purana, and he immediately fell down before the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to cry. After receiving the manuscript, the Brahmin, being very pleased, said,
"Sir, you are Lord Ramachandra himself, and have come in the dress of a sannyasi to give me audience. My dear sir, you have delivered me from a very unhappy condition. I request that you take your lunch at my place. Please accept this invitation. Due to my mental distress, I could not give you a very nice lunch the other day. Now, by good fortune, you have come again to my home."
Saying this, the Brahmin very happily cooked food, and a first-class dinner was offered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed that night in the house of the Brahmin. Then, after showing him mercy, the Lord started toward Tamraparni in Pandya Desh. There was also a temple of Lord Vishnu at Naya Tripati, on the bank of the river Tamraparni, and after bathing in the river, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the deity with great curiosity and wandered on. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to a holy place known as Chiyadatala, where he saw the deities of the two brothers, Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman. He then proceeded to Tilakanchi, where he saw the temple of Lord Shiva. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then visited the holy place named Gajendra Mokshan, where he went to a temple of Lord Vishnu. He then came to Panagadi, a holy place where he saw the deities of Lord Ramachandra and Sita. Later, the Lord went to Champtapur, where he saw the deities of Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman. He then went to Sri Vaikuntha and saw the temple of Lord Vishnu there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to Malaya Parvat and offered prayers to Agastya Muni. He then visited a place known as Kanyakumari, or presently Cape Comorin. After visiting Kanyakumari, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Amilatala, where he saw the deity of Sri Ramachandra. Thereafter, he went to a place known as Malara Desh, where a community of Bhattaharis, or nomads, lived. After visiting Malara Desh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Tamal Kartik and then to Vetapani. There he saw the temple of Raghunath, Lord Ramachandra, and passed the night. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was accompanied by his servant called Krishnadas. He was a Brahmin, but he met with the Bhattaharis there. The Bhattaharis allured the Brahmin Krishnadas, who was simple and gentle. By virtue of their bad association, they polluted his intelligence. The allured Krishnadas went to their place early in the morning. Just to find him out, the Lord also went there very quickly. Upon reaching their community, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the Bhattaharis,
Why are you keeping my Brahmin assistant? I am in the renounced order of life, and so are you. Yet you are purposefully giving me pain, and I do not see any good logic in this. Upon hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the Bataharis came running with weapons in their hands, desiring to hurt the Lord. However, their weapons fell from their hands and struck their own bodies. When some of the Bataharis were thus cut to pieces, the others ran away in the four directions. While there was much roaring and crying at the Batahari community, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu grabbed Krishnadas by the hair and took him away. That very night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his assistant Krishnadas arrived at the bank of the Payasthini River. They took their bath and then went to see the temple of Adi Keshava. When the Lord saw the Adi Keshava temple, he was immediately overwhelmed with ecstasy. Offering various obeisances and prayers, he chanted and danced. All the people there were greatly astonished to see the ecstatic pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They all received the Lord very well. In the temple of Adi Keshava, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed spiritual matters among highly advanced devotees. While there, he found a chapter of the Brahma Samhita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was greatly happy to find a chapter of that scripture, and symptoms of ecstatic transformation, trembling, tears, perspiration, trance, and jubilation were manifest in his body. There is no scripture equal to the Brahma Samhita as far as the final spiritual conclusion is concerned. Indeed, that scripture is the supreme revelation of the glories of Lord Govinda, for it reveals the topmost knowledge about him. Since all conclusions are briefly presented in Brahma Samhita, it is essential among all the Vaishnava literatures. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu copied the Brahma Samhita and afterwards, with great pleasure, went to a place known as Ananta Padmanabha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained for 2 or 3 days at Ananta Padmanabha and visited the temple there. Then, with great ecstasy, he went to see the temple of Sri Janardhan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced at Sri Janardhan for 2 days. He then went to the bank of the Payasvini River and visited the temple of Shankara Narayan. There he saw the monastery known as Sringeri Math, the abode of Acharya Shankara. He then visited Matsya Tirtha, a place of pilgrimage, and took a bath in the river Tungabhadra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next arrived at the place of Madhvacharya, where the philosophers known as Tattvavadis resided. He stayed there at a place known as Udupi, where he saw the deity of Lord Krishna and became mad with ecstasy. While at the Udupi monastery, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw dancing Gopal, a most beautiful deity. This deity appeared to Madhvacharya in a dream. Madhvacharya had somehow or other acquired the deity of Krishna from a heap of gopi chandan that had been transported in a boat. Madhvacharya brought this dancing Gopal deity to Udupi and installed him in the temple. To date, the followers of Madhvacharya, known as Tattvavadis, worshipped this deity. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received great pleasure in seeing this beautiful form of Gopal. For a long time he danced and chanted in ecstatic love. At first sight, the Tattvavadi Vaishnavas considered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a Mayavadi sannyasi. Therefore, they did not talk to him. Later, after seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in ecstatic love, they were struck with wonder. Then, considering him a Vaishnav, they gave him a nice reception. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that the Tattvavadis were very proud of their Vaishnavism. He therefore smiled and began to speak to them. Considering them very proud, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his discussion. The chief acharya of the Tattvavad community was very learned in the revealed scriptures. Out of humility, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu questioned him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I do not know very well the aim of life and how to achieve it. Please tell me the best ideal for humanity and how to attain it." The acharya replied,
"When the activities of the four castes and the four ashrams are dedicated to Krishna, they constitute the best means whereby one can attain the highest goal of life. When one dedicates the duties of Vanashram Dharma to Krishna, he is eligible for five kinds of liberation. Thus he is transferred to the spiritual world in Vaikuntha. This is the highest goal of life and the verdict of all revealed scriptures."
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "According to the verdict of the Shastras, the process of hearing and chanting is the best means to attain loving service to Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, this process entails hearing, chanting, and remembering the holy name, form, pastimes, qualities, and entourage of the Lord, offering service according to the time, place, and performer, worshipping the deity, offering prayers, always considering oneself the eternal servant of Krishna, making friends with him and dedicating everything unto him. These nine items of devotional service, when directly offered to Krishna, constitute the highest attainment of life. This is the verdict of revealed scriptures. When one comes to the platform of loving service to Lord Krishna by executing these nine processes, he has attained the fifth platform of success and the limit of life's goals. When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, cries, becomes agitated, and chants just like a madman, not caring for outsiders. In every revealed scripture, there is condemnation of fruitive activity. It is advised everywhere to give up engagement in fruitive activity, for by it, no one can attain the highest goal of life, love of Godhead. Occupational duties are described in the religious scriptures. If one analyzes them, he can fully understand their qualities and faults, and then give them up completely to render service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A person who does so is considered to be a first-class man. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear." And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, "As long as one is not satiated by fruitive activity and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, one has to act according to the regulative principles of the Vedic injunctions." Pure devotees reject the five kinds of liberation. Indeed, liberation for them is very insignificant because they see it as hellish. Pure devotees always reject the five kinds of liberation, which include living in the spiritual Vaikuntha planets, possessing the same opulences possessed by the Supreme Lord, having the same bodily features as the Lord, and associating with the Lord and merging into the body of the Lord. The pure devotees do not accept these benedictions without the service of the Lord. It is very difficult to give up material opulence, land, children, society, friends, riches, wife, or the blessings of the goddess of fortune, which are desired even by great demigods. King Bharat did not desire such things, and this was quite befitting his position, because for a pure devotee, whose mind is always engaged in service of the Lord,
even liberation, or merging into the existence of the Lord, is insignificant, and want to speak of material opportunity. A person who is a devotee of Lord Narayan is not afraid of a hellish condition, because he considers it the same as elevation to heavenly planets or liberation. The devotees of Lord Narayan are accustomed to seeing all these things on the same level. Both liberation and fruitive activity are rejected by devotees. You are trying to establish these things as life's goal and the process to attain it. Seeing that I am a mendicant in the renounced order of life, you have been playing with me in a duplicitous way. You have not actually described the process and ultimate objective. After hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Acharya of the Tattvavad Sampradaya became very ashamed. Upon observing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's rigid faith in Vaishnavism, he was struck with wonder. The Tattvavadi Acharya replied,
"What you have said is certainly factual. It is the conclusion of all the revealed scriptures of the Vaishnavas. Still, whatever Madhvacharya has ascertained to be the formula for our party, we practice it as a party policy."
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Both the fruitive worker and the speculative philosopher are considered non-devotees. We see both elements present in your sampradaya. The only qualification that I see in your sampradaya is that you accept the form of the Lord as truth." Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu broke the pride of the Tattvavadis to pieces. He then went to the holy place known as Palgu Tirtha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Shachi, went to Tritakupa. And after seeing the Vishala deity there, he went to the holy place known as Panchapshara Tirtha. After seeing Panchapshara, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gokarna. While there, he visited the temple of Lord Shiva, and then he went to Dvaipayani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the crown jewel of all sannyasis, then went to Surparak Tirtha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then visited the town of Kolhapur, where he saw the goddess of fortune in the temple of Kshira Bhagavati and Langa Ganesh in another temple known as Kura Parvati. From there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Pandarapur, where he happily saw the temple of Vital Thakur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced in various ways as usual, and one Brahmin, seeing him in ecstatic love, was very pleased. He even invited the Lord to his home for lunch. The Brahmin offered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu food with great respect and love. After finishing his lunch, the Lord received auspicious news. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received word that Sri Rangapuri, one of the disciples of Sri Madhavendrapuri, was present in that village at the home of a Brahmin. Hearing this news, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately went to see Sri Rangapuri at the Brahmin's home. Upon entering, the Lord saw him sitting there. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the Brahmin, he immediately began to offer him obeisances in ecstatic love, falling flat to the ground. The symptoms of transcendental transformation were visible, namely tears, jubilation, trembling, and perspiration. Upon seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in such an ecstatic mood, Sri Rangapuri said,
"Your Holiness, please get up. Your Holiness is certainly related to Sri Madhavendra Puri, without whom there is no flavor of ecstatic love."
After saying this, Sri Rangapuri lifted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and embraced him. When they both embraced, they began to cry in ecstasy. After some moments, they came to their senses and became patient. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then informs Sri Rangapuri about his relationship with Ishvar Puri. They were both inundated by the wonderful ecstasy of love which was aroused in both of them. They finally sat down and respectfully began to converse. In this way, they discussed topics about Lord Krishna continuously for 5 to 7 days. Out of curiosity, Sri Rangapuri asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about his birthplace, and the Lord informed him that it was Navadvip Dham. Sri Rangapuri had formerly gone to Navadvip with Sri Madhavendra Puri, and he therefore remembered the incidents that took place there. As soon as Sri Rangapuri recalled Navadvip, he also recalled accompanying Sri Madhavendra Puri to the house of Jagannath Mishra, where he took lunch. He even remembered the taste of an unprecedented curry made of banana flowers. Sri Rangapuri also remembered the wife of Jagannath Mishra. She was very devoted and chaste. As for her affection, she was exactly like the mother of the universe. He also remembered how Sri Jagannath Mishra's wife, Shachi Mata, was expert in cooking. He recalled that she was very affectionate toward the sannyasis and fed them exactly like her own sons. Sri Rangapuri also understood that one of her deserving sons accepted the renounced order at a very young age. His name was Shankar Aranya. Sri Rangapuri informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that in this holy place, Pandarapur, the sannyasi named Shankararanya attained perfection. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "In my previous ashram, Shankararanya was my brother, and Jagannath Mishra was my father." After finishing his talks with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Rangapuri started for Dwarkadham. After Sri Rangapuri departed for Dwarka, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained with the Brahmin at Pandarapur for 4 more days. He took his bath in the Bhima River and visited the temple of Vital. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next went to the bank of the Krishna Vainva River, where he visited many holy places and the temples of various gods. The Brahmin community there was composed of pure devotees who regularly studied a book entitled Krishna Karnamrita, which was composed by Bilva Mangal Thakur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to hear the book Krishna Karnamrita, and with great eagerness he had it copied and took it with him. There is no comparison to Krishna Karnamrita within the three worlds. By studying this book, one is elevated to the knowledge of pure devotional service to Krishna. One who constantly reads Krishna Karnamrita can fully understand the beauty and melodious taste of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. The Brahma Samhita and Krishna Karnamrita were two books that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered to be most valuable jewels. Therefore, he took them with him on his return trip. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next arrived at the banks of the river Tapi. After bathing there, he went to Mahishmatipur. While there, he saw many holy places on the banks of the river Narmada. The Lord next arrived at Dhanastirtha, where he took his bath in the river Nirvindya. He then arrived at Rishyamukh Mountain and then went to Dandakaranya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then visited a place within the forest called Saptatala. All the trees there were very old, very bulky, and very high. After seeing the 7 palm trees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced them. As a result, they all returned to Vaikuntha Loka, the spiritual world. After the 7 palm trees departed for the Vaikunthas, everyone was astonished to see them gone. The people then began to say,
this sannyasi called Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must be an incarnation of Lord Ramachandra. Only Lord Ramachandra has the power to send 7 palm trees to the spiritual Vaikuntha planets. Eventually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at a lake known as Pampa, where he took his bath. He then went to a place called Panchavati, where he rested. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then visited Nasik, where he saw the deity Trayambak. He then went to Brahmagiri, and then to Kushavarta, the source of the river Godavari. After visiting many other holy places, the Lord went to Sapta Godavari. At last he returned to Vidyanagara. When Ramananda Rai heard of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival, he was very pleased and he immediately went to see him. When Ramananda Rai fell flat, touching the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord immediately raised him to his feet and embraced him. In great ecstatic love, they then both began to cry, and thus their minds were slackened. After some time, they both regained their senses and sat together to discuss various subjects. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Ramananda Rai a vivid description of his travels to the holy places and told him how he had acquired the 2 books named Krishna Karnamrita and Brahma Samhita. The Lord delivered the books to Ramananda Rai. The Lord said, "Whatever you have told me about devotional service is all supported by these 2 books." Ramananda Rai was very happy to receive these books. He tasted their contents along with the Lord and made a copy of each. News spread in the village of Vidyanagara about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival, and everyone came to see him once again. After seeing the people who gathered there, Sri Ramananda Rai returned to his own home. At noon, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up to take his lunch. Sri Ramananda Rai returned at night, and both he and the Lord discussed topics concerning Krishna. Thus they passed the night. Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed Krishna day and night, and thus they passed from 5 to 7 days in great happiness. Ramananda Rai said,
"My dear Lord, with your permission, I have already written a letter to the king with great humility. The king has already given me an order to return to Jagannath Puri, and I am making arrangements to do this."
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, "It is for this purpose alone that I have returned. I want to take you with me to Jagannath Puri."
"My dear Lord, it is better that you proceed to Jagannath Puri alone, because with me there will be many horses and elephants and soldiers all roaring tumultuously. I shall make arrangements within 10 days. Following you, I shall go to Neelachal without delay."
Giving orders to Ramananda Rai to come to Neelachal, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed for Jagannath Puri with great pleasure. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned by the same road he formerly took to Vidyanagara, and all the Vaishnavas along the way saw him again. Wherever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, the holy name of Sri Hari was vibrated. Seeing this, the Lord became very happy. When the Lord reached Alalanath, he sent his assistant Krishnadas ahead to call for Nityananda and other personal associates. As soon as Nityananda received the news of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival, he immediately got up and started out to see him. Indeed, he was very impatient in his great ecstasy. Sri Nityananda Rai, Jagannananda, Damodar Pandit, and Mukunda all became ecstatic in their happiness, and dancing along the way, they went to meet the Lord. Gopinathacharya also went in a very happy mood. They all went to meet the Lord, and they finally contacted him on the way.
The Lord was also filled with ecstatic love, and he embraced them all. Out of their love, they began to cry with pleasure. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also went to see the Lord with great pleasure, and he met him on the beach by the sea. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya fell down at the lotus feet of the Lord, and the Lord pulled him up and embraced him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya cried in great ecstatic love. Then, accompanied by them all, the Lord went to the temple of Jagannath. Due to ecstatic love experienced upon visiting Lord Jagannath, inundations of trembling, perspiration, tears, and jubilation swept the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and chanted. At that time, all the attendants and priests came to offer him a garland and the remnants of Lord Jagannath's food. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became patient after receiving the garland and prasad of Lord Jagannath. All the servants of Lord Jagannath met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great pleasure. Afterward, Kashi Mishra came and fell down at the lotus feet of the Lord, and the Lord respectfully embraced him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then took the Lord with him to his home, saying,
"Today's luncheon will be at my home."
In this way, he invited the Lord. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya brought various types of food remnants that had been left by Lord Jagannath. He brought all kinds of cakes and condensed milk preparations. Accompanied by all his associates, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house and took his noon lunch there. After offering food to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya made him lie down to rest, and he personally began to massage the legs of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then sent Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to take his lunch, and the Lord remained that night in his home just to please him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal associates remained with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. They stayed awake the entire night hearing the narration of the Lord's pilgrimage. The Lord told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, "I have traveled to many holy places, but I could not find a Vaishnav as good as you anywhere. I received much pleasure from the talks of Ramananda Rai." Bhattacharya replied,
"For this reason I requested that you meet him."
Thus I have ended my narration about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pilgrimage, describing it in brief. It cannot be described very broadly. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are unlimited. No one can properly describe his activities, yet I make the attempt out of greed. This but reveals my shamelessness. Whoever hears of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pilgrimage to various holy places attains the riches of very deep, ecstatic love. Please hear the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with faith and devotion. Giving up envy of the Lord, everyone chant the Lord's holy name, Hari. In this age of Kali, there are no genuine religious principles. There are only the Vaishnav devotees and the Vaishnav devotional scriptures. This is the sum and substance of everything. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are just like an unfathomable ocean. It is not possible for me to enter into them. Simply standing on the shore, I am but touching the water. Whoever hears the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with faith, analytically studying them, attains the ecstatic riches of love of Godhead. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, and always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. This ends Chapter 9 of the Madhya Lila, Lord Chaitanya Travels to the Holy Places.